Conversations change attitudes. When we're talking, it sure does change. Problem is, some of those conversations change in the what way? The wrong way. And then other times, those conversations change in the right way. When you're talking and you're conversing with someone, you're talking with someone and you hear what they're saying and you realize, yeah, I need to look differently at that. I need to change my attitude about that. Choices change directions, don't they? Those choices that we make. Decision determines our direction, and direction determines our destiny. The choices we make, will change our directions, our direction of our life. But choices, the choices we make, they change directions. Think of someone's life that because of one choice they made, look at what path they're down and what's happened. One little choice. I think I might get back to some time and preach a message on it only takes a little to ruin a lot. It only takes a little to ruin a lot. Well, what comes with this change then? Well, a lot of times excitement comes with change, doesn't it? I mean, you're going to a new place. You're looking forward to different things changing. And there's excitement that comes with change. It's not always, oh, ho-hum, no, we got to change. No, there's excitement that comes with change. There's respect that comes with change. Many times there's a change in leadership. And there's a respect that comes with change. There's obedience that comes with change. Many times there's different things that might happen, commands that might come, and really with those commands or different, the obedience comes with change. If you're going to change by obeying, there's something that's going to have to change. Obedience comes with that change. Honor, humility, and praise comes with change. A different outlook comes with change. All these things come with change. Time comes with change. And then openness to change comes with change when people stop rationalizing, leaning onto their own understanding. Openness to change comes with change when people stop rationalizing. So here's a real profound statement. Change has not taken place until change has taken place. I know you think, well, yeah, right. But think of what that's saying. Change has not taken place until change has taken place. How many times have you wanted to change something and it never happened? Okay, let's go with the one that always is the New Year's one. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to change my lifestyle. And it never happens because change is not going to happen until change happens. And so as we look at the truths this Christmas season, as we think of Jesus the child and Jesus the king, let us look at the truths this evening that changed the lives of those who became involved in the life of the child Jesus, who is the King of Kings, of course, as we know, and the Lord of Lords. And let these truths change us into the new creature that God has intended us to be. I've been reminded that this last few weeks, it started out by listening to a message as I was jogging, and then it went into a message from that truth, and I realized again what the purpose of my life that God has given me, and he's given it mankind and his people. As we read in Romans 8, 28 and 29, and his very purpose for us to living is that we are what? Live into the image of who? Of his dear son. That we are Christ-like. That's his whole purpose for us. What is best for us? That which is going on in our life is what is best for us to be Christ-like. No matter what adversity, no matter what joyous things. But what is best for us is to be Christ-like in our responses to things that are allowed around us. And so we're new creatures, and God has intended us to be those new creatures. And he's intended us, in order for us to have a relationship with him, and a close relationship, is for us to be Christ-like. That means there's many things that will happen in our lives that we don't, might not be black and white in Scripture, but he wants us to go and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Paul, on the way to Damascus, when he was saved, did Paul know Scripture? He knew the Old Testament. He was a Pharisee. He would know about the Scriptures, but he didn't know a person. But once he got saved, remember what the first thing he said? What will thou what? Have me to do. Wouldn't that be a good statement and a truth, a passage of Scripture for us all to memorize and think about? When there's a decision to be made, or when we're going to do something, or it's something that doesn't seem like it means anything, just say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Give me the peace that will pass understanding. Because I'm a new creature in you, and I'm striving, abiding in Christ, that I ought to live like Christ, the one that abides in me. So as we look at this evening and look at these different ones that were involved in the life of the birth of Christ, let's take the changes that might have happened in their lives and try to apply these nice principles and truths to our own lives. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke 1, verses 30 through 33. Think of that promise and that truth that he said to Mary. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. I would say that's going to change things. How did the birth of Christ change these six? Mary, when we look at the story of Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, wise men, and Simeon, and Anna. And so briefly tonight, we're just going to take passages of Scripture that we find about them and try to just think on those things and see what changed in their life. That we might say, okay, maybe this has to change in ours, or maybe I need to have that type of attitude. So first of all, as we think of Mary, Mary was changed by the child. So what was her response to Gabriel's announcement to her? As we think of that question, what was her response to Gabriel's announcement? We have two passages of Scripture we're going to look at and talk a little bit more, and then we'll probably come back to it. But look at what it says in Luke 1:38. The Bible says, And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. What was her response to Gabriel's announcement to her about the birth? That changed her. He says, And she said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She already identifies herself, what, as belonging to God. And be it unto me as you say. And then a few verses later, in verses 46 to 47, the Bible says, My soul, and here's a further response of Mary, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. So she responded in a way where she magnified the Lord, and she magnified by saying, My spirit rejoices in God, who? My Savior. What does that mean? What does that tell us about Mary? That tells us she was a what? Sinner in need of a Savior. And her spirit, her own human spirit, rejoiced in God because she was a handmaid of the Lord, of God who is her Savior, who saved her. And so as we look at it, what was her response to Gabriel's announcement? It was one of humility and servitude. Her response was one of humility and servitude. She humbled herself. She let God be who? God. Remember the wonderful definition of humility? One of them, there's many of them, but one of them is letting God be God. And what's the what definition of pride? Ungodly God. And so we see that she was one that responded of one of letting God be God and who she was. And because of that, the very next step came very simply. I want to serve you. I want to do what you want me to do. What will thou have me to do? So let's look at those two as we go further. Think of the different responses throughout the Bible of announcements about births. Sarah was announced that she, at the age of 90, was going to have a child. And what was her response? She what? She laughed, didn't she? Manoah was the father of Samson. And they were announced that they were going to have a son, Samson. And what was his response? Well, he panicked. Zacharias, when he was told about John the Baptist, how did he respond to that birth? Well, he doubted. And then, of course, Mary, her response was one of being a humble handmaid. So as we look back at those verses, how was Mary changed? And so let's look at those verses again. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me according to thy word. And so I have the idea of my behavior is going to be this because it's your word, and let everything happen. Be unto me that my conduct might be one of humility. My conduct and response might be. So she had a changed conduct. She had one certain a conduct before, and she was probably I would say that Mary probably was a humble lady before she heard of the birth of Jesus and the miracle that was going to be taking place. But here, can you imagine being a humble person and then now how she even changed more in her conduct? There's things that had to change in her behavior, didn't it? Something was different. She was growing. Mary had not reached the epitome. She had to grow just like you and I. We always have to grow. Don't ever think that you've made it. Mary had a changed conduct as she continued to hear and learn about God. And she says, "I'm your handmaid, Lord. Be it unto me." In other words, there's a lot of things going to happen. I need to continue to be a change conduct in a growth. Well, my soul will magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. What a countenance. Again, I believe she probably had don't you think Mary had a wonderful countenance about her? I mean, we don't know exactly, except these passages, we see that she had a wonderful countenance. But I can't imagine when she heard all of this, being the godly woman that she was, how her countenance must have even shown more. I mean, how her countenance probably changed so many times. Because think of this. She knew that she was going to go through a lot of gossip in her life. She was great with child and not married. And people knew that. And then also Joseph, who says, "Why are you marrying her?" And when they told them, "Hello, a virgin birth," she never knew a man and she's pregnant? Now, think of that. Think of trying to explain something that they're never going to understand. Do you know how I can know how you can try to feel that a little bit? Have you ever talked to someone about the Lord or about certain things? They just don't get it. Why? They don't have the Spirit of God in them. And they're not going to get it until what? The Spirit of God comes. And then even sometimes when we are saved, they don't get it because they're not in God's Word. They're not growing, and they still don't get it. And so we need to realize there is a changed countenance. There is a changed conduct that we must have, a countenance that grows as we learn more about Him. Well, let's think of Joseph and how he was changed. Scripture, as we read this morning in Matthew 1, 18 through 21, and then 24 and 25. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took upon him his wife, And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We talked about this morning. So let's think of Joseph now. What is it in Joseph's life that changed him? Think of this. From thinking himself as a victim to understanding his place as a victor in God's divine plan. He could have thought of many things at first, couldn't he have? Maybe as a victim, maybe not, maybe just he just didn't know what to think. But then understanding his place as a victor in God's divine plan, do you think something changed in him? I know there had to be a sadness that went to happiness and joyfulness. That had to be. And so we see from thinking himself as a victim to understand his place as a victor in God's divine plan, what changed in his life? Well, there's a changed conscience. Because now his conscience before would have been a knowledge. Remember what conscience means? It's your knowledge with whatever. And his knowledge with, he didn't understand what is a virgin birth. All he knew was that the Bible does say he would known in Isaiah that the Messiah will come from a virgin birth. So that's all he would known about it. The unsaved world around him and all other would not understand that a bit. But then when God gave him the knowledge in his word, he grew in that, didn't he? In the knowledge. And so now his knowledge with his conscience changed. And it changed to come up and live his life according to the conscience. And he could then what? Marry her. Before, he couldn't marry her. But when he had the right knowledge with a changed conscience, he could what? Marry her. And we think of the shepherds. The shepherds were changed by the child. In Luke 2, 15 through 20, the Bible says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Think of that. And the shepherds returned, they glorified and praised God amongst themselves. Notice it says at the beginning up in verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go into Bethlehem and let's see this babe. So what do we see here? They were from this timidness to the tribute of Christ. They were there being humble shepherds, and then they saw these angels in heaven and the declaration made to them. They then decided to pay tribute, causing them to what? Have a changed conversation. A changed conversation. Their conversation completely changed. What do you think they were talking about before the angels came in the sky? Do you think they were talking about the birth of Jesus? What do you think? What do shepherds talk about at night? Sheep. They weren't talking about the latest television show or the sports activity. They wouldn't have been talking about that. But they would have been talking about things, whatever, maybe family. Maybe there was something that responsibility had to have that said, hey, Joe, you go over there and take care of little Betsy Lamb over there and then look over at Louie the Lamb. And take him over and with the other group because those over there are bothering him. And, you know, they're flocking together. We're having problems. And then he said, by the way, I heard that your brother came to town. How is he doing? And then all of a sudden, there was a host in heaven. Do you think their conversation changed? Take a look at what it said afterwards. After the angels left, they weren't talking about, you know, Louis the Lamb. They were talking about Jesus. And they said, hey, we were stirred. We need to go. We need to go. Well, think of the wise men. They were changed by the child. Matthew 2, 10 through 12 says, but when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come unto the house, They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So how were they changed? Think of this. When we remember the wise men, we do not remember them for their glory. We remember them for their what? Their gifts. We remember them for their gift. And so we think of this for their wonder. They were wondering and going, and it changed to worship. Why? Because they followed the light, and they ended up finding the what? The light of the world. So what were they changed at? They had a changed commitment. They were to go back and tell Herod, and he said no. And then they worshiped the king, and they went. They had a changed commitment. We are committed to do what he told us to do. And they had a changed commitment. Probably many other things changed in their life. Simeon was changed by the child in Luke 2:28-32. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Remember, he was promised that he wouldn't die until he see the Redeemer. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. We see that Simeon had what? A promise that was fulfilled to him. And that promise fulfilled was a peace that was found in his heart. Because he heard of that promise, he knew of that promise, he trusted, had faith in that promise, and he saw that promise, and automatically when the word of God filled his heart, he had what? He had a peace that passes all understanding. So what was changed in him? He had a changed confidence. He could now rest assured in a confidence, a confident expectation. He had seen the Messiah. And his confidence, once again, as we see in the passages of Scripture, to lighten the Gentiles of the world, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. This was a Jew that said that. To lighten the Gentiles, the light of the world. What a changed confidence in a changed world that was to come. Well, then we think Anna. Remember, Anna was chained by the child. And Luke 2:38 says, and she, coming that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him. She started talking about him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She went and talked to them about the Savior, the child born. When she understood it, and likewise it says, she coming an instant, she saw the child, gave thanks, and likewise unto the Lord, spake of him to all them. So what did she have? A changed commission. A changed commission. So as we look at a change by the child, Mary had a changed conduct. Mary had a changed countenance. Joseph had a changed conscience. Shepherds had a changed conversation. The wise men had a changed commitment. And Simeon had a changed confidence. And then Anna had a changed commission. So as we think of that, changed by the child, changed by the king, we've got to realize that mankind is changed by a king. A country, a nation's changed by a king. But here we have the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. And the nations were changed because the government will be on his shoulders. And we see the prophecy. Mankind is going to be changed. Nations are changed and are going to be changed. Think of the nations that came and how they've just been against God. They'll be changed. Time is changed by the king. There's the world is on borrowed time, but it's according to God's timing and not man's timing. For the Bible says in Luke 1:33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Time has changed. It started back in the beginning. There is no time before that. It started at the beginning, and now time will always be. the heavens are changed by the king, for the Bible says in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiworks. The heavens declare the glory of God. They were changed by the king. The heavens declare it. As the Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, for he is the king of kings. So not only those nations, but the world is changed by the king. 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 21, the Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Remember what I've given you, the definition of reconcile. There can be many things, but one of the best definitions that I've ever heard that's really helped me is the definition of reconciliation simply means producing a change. Isn't that true? Think of it. You're going to reconcile with someone. You're producing a change in that relationship, aren't you? And remember, forgiveness is a one-way street, but reconciliation is a what? It's a two-way street. Well, look at this. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The world wasn't savable. And it says, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What he did is he produced a change in the world. The world was not savable. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he sent his only begotten Son, and he commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. And so the world was unsavable until he sent his Son, of whom the world then became, and he came and he died on the cross and rose again the third day, had victory over death, and sin is pinned to the cross, and no longer is sin victorious. It's dead, and those that receive Christ our Savior are dead to that sin. We don't have to make the choices we make. And so what was changed? God produced a change in the world by sending his Son, so the world might be savable. Aren't you glad? For me, it was 1962 where that prayer was answered, God forgive them, for they know not what they do. In 1962, I received Jesus as my Savior by faith because he made the world savable. As he makes that world savable, we need to ask ourselves the question, have you chosen to let the child who is the king change you? And you say, yes, I have. I received him as my Savior. He's changed me. Okay. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has what? Begun a good work in you will perform it on the day of Jesus Christ. He's working in your life. Are you responding and letting him change you? If you're not changing, you're not being obedient to him. If you're not letting him change you, grow you, mature you in this year of 2019, you've forgotten that you've been purged from your sins, as Peter tells us. So are you looking at what can be changed in your life? You know, there's some things in my life, different things, little reactions, different things, and I'll go down the road or I'll see something or I'll be thinking about something. I'll say, God, I don't want to be that way. And then I'm that way again. Or it comes in my mind, or maybe not doing it, but it comes in my mind, so it's still. And I think, Lord, I want to change. What do I do? What more can I do? I might need that accountability, but someone that might help me. I don't want to be disrespectful to my wife. I want to love her with my whole heart. I don't want to be disrespectful or show irreverence to people. I don't want to just have everything just go my way. Well, excuse me, I want it to go that way, but that's my problem. And I'm just saying things generically, of course, that we all can say. But are you letting them change? Let's together Just, God, what would you have me to do? If nothing else, just say, Lord, I don't know about this, but show me and I I'll do it, or I won't do it, or show me and I'll, well, maybe it's just that I need to get to know God more, because the more I know about him and his person, the more I'll just know that there's no, I don't have to pray about that. An example that would be, okay, I'll give you a real simple one. We know what God says about abortion, don't we? Well, a person that just saved might think, well, this was a rape, or this was this or that. But a person that gets to know God more, that's saved, gets to go know God more, he doesn't have to what? Pray about whether that's right or wrong. He knows, doesn't he? Because God's changed him. He's given him a new thinker. A new creation. So let us let God change us continually and have a tender spirit, a teachable spirit that God will change us so that we might continue to have those things chipped off us, that we might be more like Christ. And he that saith he abideth in him ought even to walk even as he walked. 1 John 2:6. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, thank you so much for